and how God created the man, the woman, and the child, specifically the man and the woman, for a specific purpose. And that's what we've been going through. Last week we talked about the woman, the female, and how God created the genders for a specific purpose. The male has specific qualities, the female has specific qualities. Both qualities come from God. And if you don't have genders, if you don't have one gender over the other, then you're missing a certain quality of God, that God expressed himself into this world. Amen? So God, the image that God created Adam and Eve, he created from himself. And that image is to be reflected here on the earth. So when the world sees a man and a woman, he sees God. You can see God through a man and a woman. The Bible says that God is invisible, right? We went over the Romans chapter 1, verse 20. There's many scriptures. It says God is invisible. But invisible means that we can't see him. But what he does is he reflects himself, he did, through Adam and Eve. So we are a direct reflection of the invisible God. Now, because we were ruined, can you put up the shattered mirror, just the first one, not the one with missing pieces? This is the image I used last week. There, that one. What happened was when Adam sinned, the image was fractured. And so what people see now is not a complete image of God. What they see is a fractured image of God. As we look at this picture, it almost looked like this person has three eyes, right? Like the eye is a little crooked. It's kind of halfway moved, nose over here, and things are all over the place. And so because of sin, our image, the image of God, was completely fractured. Next slide. And there are some people that are so fractured that their pieces are missing. So we have a lot of people that are hurting today, emotionally. We say, you know, this person has baggage, or this person went through a lot. Like Janice, you know, she was abused growing up as a kid, physically, sexually, emotionally, and so there were pieces missing of her. But Jesus came and fixed it all. Now the key thing is, go back to the other one. The thing about a mirror is, I don't care how much time you take to try and fix a mirror, you can try and glue it together, it'll never be a mirror. So the only thing you can do with a mirror is throw it out. And that's what Jesus came to do, to throw away that broken image. He became sin, buried it, and when he rose a brand new image of God. And if we're in Christ, we're a perfect image of God. Amen? Go to the one with the baby. Look at this baby here. Now, can you tell me what is the real picture and what is the mirror picture? You really can't, correct? And that's the way we're supposed to image God. It's supposed to be such a wonderful, perfect image that you can't really tell what's the real one and what's the picture, what's in the mirror. That's Luca now. He looks like Luca, doesn't he? A little bit. But that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a direct reflection of God. Our image was broken, but in Christ, the Bible says, we are being conformed into his image. Every day, we get better and better and better and better. To the point where the world can't tell if it's a mirror reflection or the real thing. Amen? All right, Genesis 1. That's kind of just bringing everybody up to speed. Genesis 1, verse 1. Ready? Let's go here again. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Greek word for Genesis, this is the book of Genesis, right? Genesis 1:1. The Greek word for Genesis is to give birth. That's what it means. Genesis means to give birth. From Genesis, we get a lot of words. We get genealogy, we get genetics, we get genes, your genes. And here, it uses a specific Greek word, Genesis, which means the birthing of. Or we could say that it is the first. It is the beginning. It is the origin of everything. And it says here that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so it says that God birthed everything. God created everything. It is the origin of everything. It is the prototype of everything. So the book of Genesis is looked at as the prototype of the whole human race, of the whole world. In other words, in the book of Genesis, we get a lot of firsts. Like we get the first time the sun came up. We get the first time that a flower budded. You know, we get the first time that a cow was rated as USDA choice. It's a joke. So we get a lot of firsts throughout the book of Genesis. We get the first man, the first woman, right? The first child, the first sin. You get the first nation. You get the first city. You get all a lot. There's a lot of firsts in the book of Genesis. Why? Because it's the book of births, the book of birthing, the book of creation, the book of beginnings. And notice it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens. So God took specific time when he began to create. Now, throughout the book of Genesis, you'll see a lot of birthings that are amplified. Or in other words, God puts a specific focus on that event. Okay. For example, 6 months ago, we had our first grandchild. And so we were there, Janice and I, Ariana, everybody, we were there to hear her first cry. You know, we were there to see her eyes open for the first time. We were there to smell her first dirty diaper. You know, and so, you know, and you know, when things like that, you're like, she went to the bathroom, praise the Lord. You know, why? Because it makes sure that, you know, everything is working right. And when it's the first, so Callie is going through a lot of firsts. So every time she goes, she does something for the first time, it's, you know, it's a picture moment, right? We want to capture the very first thing she does. Like the first time she saw her papu. You know, the first time she smiled. Look, she's smiling at me. You know, the first time she put her head up, the first time she picked herself up, the first time she'll say papu. The first time she had a belly laugh, right? Like you guys are going through with Luca, right? His very first. When the baby's born, they do the footprint. This is the baby's first footprint, right? So there are a lot of firsts, right? And when it comes to a lot of firsts, it's always ample, like, wow, I can't believe she smiled, she laughed. At some point, she's going to laugh all the time, like, ah, whatever. You know, because after the first, the second, the third, the fourth, it's not a big deal anymore, right? It's not a big deal anymore because it's not a first. Well, in the book of Genesis, God makes a big deal on the firsts. You good with that? So let's look at Genesis 1:26. I want you to show you how God does this. Verse 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Did you notice how many times the word image is used? Why? Because it's the first. It's the first man. It's the first Adam. It's the first human for the human race. And God was specific, and he kept saying, in my image I made him, in my image, let us make him in my image. So God was real specific that man, opposed to every other creature ever created, there is no one, not even an angel, that was created according to the image of God. And God was stressing it so much that he said it over and over and over again. He says, they're made in my image and in my likeness. And in my image, I made them because they're in my image. Everybody see that? So he's being real specific. He says, you guys didn't come from a monkey. You didn't evolve. I made you. That's real important because that really sets the tone for who you are. If you see yourself as if you've evolved from something or you're just no good, you know, you're not worth anything. You've been told your whole life that you'll never amount to anything. Well, you need to go back to 1:26 and 27 to realize that God said, no, I made you in my image. You look like me. You're capable of everything I'm capable of. You're as much as God without being God. You see, God did not make cows, kale, creepy things. He didn't make anything to look like him. He just created. He had an idea. Let me make a fish. Bam, he made a fish. Let it have fins. Boom. you know, let me do this, boom, and God just did. Then he said, let us make something that we've never made before. Let us make something like us. It's because they will have dominion over every fish of the sea, over the entire earth. We want to put somebody in charge over everything we've made. And the very first thing God said to Adam when he created him, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? Can you give me the one with the perpetual image? Now watch this. I want you to see this picture. Here is a mirror picture of infinity. If you take the first picture there, that was supposed to be Adam. If you go down 254 generations, which we are now, we're supposed to be the same image. You understand? Every copy was supposed to be the same, the same, the same, in the image of God, in the image of God, in the image of God, in the image of God. But what happened? After the first, the second had some flaws in it. Cain had flaws in him. So much so that it was so amplified that he murdered his brother. Everybody understand? But we're not supposed to be. That was not God's plan. God's plan was for man to make more like him. But sin ruined everything. And the second one looks a little bit, but there's some flaws. The third is even worse. The fourth is even worse. Now you get to us, and believe it or not, there are so many flaws in a human body now that Jesus has to come back. You may think that, well, medicine is making us live longer, stuff like that. Yeah, medicine is making us live longer, but you take a pill, and the side effects are worse than the benefits. Every single drug that I've seen, the last line says, and you can die. You know, but there's so many things that man has tried to compensate because of the fractured image. You see, what man tries, and I'm not saying don't take a drug, you know, don't take a pill, don't go to doctor. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is this, that man has tried to fix that broken mirror so much that you can't fix it. Because the moment you fix one aspect, you break something else. Amen. So let's go to, where were we? Genesis 1:26, right? Go to Genesis chapter 5. Now, Genesis 5 verse 1, things take a little turn here. Because he's going back to what he said at the beginning, right? Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Then he goes backwards again. He goes four chapters later and he says it again, but notice how he says it. He says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam Cory's. No, just kidding. Adam is sitting back there. genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Again, you see the repetition. God made him in the likeness of man. He is the image of God, right? He created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind. New King James says mankind. KJV, King James, says Adam. In other words, I'll read again, and blessed them and called them Adam in the day they were created. The word Adam literally means mankind. But for some reason, the translators of the Bible decided, well, let me not say Adam, let me just say mankind. But the Hebrew word is Adam. In other words, it says this, in the day that he created them, he named them Adam. Now, let me be specific. So in the day that God created them, he named him Adam. So go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. I'm going to explain this now. Verse 22, actually 21, Genesis 2:21, watch this, remember Genesis 5:2 that we just read. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, or mankind. It's interchangeable, right? Why did they use Adam instead of mankind? We don't know, but it's the word for Adam. He said he made a deep sleep fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Okay, now ready? I'm not trying to be funny, but I want you to hear this. When God created Adam, there was a woman trapped inside of him. I'm not trying to be funny. It's the truth. When God created him, he created them, and he called him Adam. Or he called them Adam. Notice that Eve was in Adam when God created Adam. There was a woman as well trapped in a man's body. And God pulled her out. Look. It says in 23, and then Adam said, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was what? Taken out of man." In other words, she was already there the day God created them. She was in him. And he said, "She came out of me." Now, remember last week I said that God split mankind into two genders, so each gender has a specific quality, right? Because in the beginning, they were all in Adam. He split them, and he amplified some in Eve, and he amplified some in Adam. Okay? That we both have the same, males and females have the same exact qualities, are the same image of God, but there are specific qualities in a man that are more pronounced than there are in a woman. A woman has more qualities that are more pronounced than a man does. Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we know, has specific qualities. Jesus said he's a strengthener, he's a comforter, he's your standby, he's your teacher, he's your guide. Jesus said the Holy Spirit has specific qualities that are pronounced. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God 100%. He can do whatever the Father can do. But he said he has specific qualities that are pronounced. Make sense? That are dominant. Jesus had specific qualities that are more dominant, right? Sacrificial, humble. He was selfless, gave himself, loving, forgiving. Right? Those are qualities that Jesus showed on the earth. The Father had specific qualities. What is that? He's the judge. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's the provider. He's the giver of the law. He's fair and he's just. Okay, that's the Father has those qualities, but they're all God, but they all have a specific role. So when God split man, he said, okay, female, you have a role, male, you have a role. I'm giving my qualities to you, Eve, and I'm giving some to the male. Good? Notice this, that Eve was in Adam and he pulled her out. Now, let me say this. There are specific differences between a male and a female. Males, men, were made directly from the dust. Females were made from spirit and wrapped in dust, flesh. In other words, a man is very earthy. We like to get our hands on things. We like to get dirty. We like to rip things apart and put them back together again. We like to dominate. We like to conquer. You know, we walk around scratching areas. We don't care. We spit. Because we're very just physical. We're very physical. Why? Because we came directly from the ground. The ground is our best friend. We can roll around in the dirt, get up, and, you know, and go to a wedding. We don't care. We don't care what we look like. right? We're very different. The female, listen, the man was earth first. The female was spirit first. She was once removed from the earth. She was spirit first, and then God pulled her out and wrapped flesh around her. That's why a woman is more spiritual than a man. Oh, ladies, you should shout. That's why a female is more emotional, not in a bad way, more emotional, more feeling. I want to feel something in here. A man just wants to feel something out here. That's why we're so different. God made us that way. A woman can sense things, right? You can say, you know, a woman will go, I just know it. How do you know? I just know it. I just know it. Right? Because they have this ESPN, something like ESP, something. You know, they just know things. I just know it. She don't like me. I just know it. And they'll tap their, you know, and wave their, whatever they do, you know, flip their hair, right? Because they're more feeling sense-wise. A man, you got an issue? Let's go face to face. Come talk, come to my face and say that. Yeah. We're more physical. We deal with things physically, and a woman deals with things emotionally. Again, it's not a bad thing. You know, it's wrong to say, you know, emotion is a bad thing. It's a very good thing. Just like physical is a very good thing. So you have to understand your wife, understand your husband, understand the female, understand the male. When you understand that, you're not going to be like me. I don't want somebody like me as a wife. Amen. But you understand the differences. God made us that way. And he said, watch this, and he said, and Adam noticed it, and he said, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And the two shall become one flesh. They did not become one spirit, because Adam had another spirit in him. When he pulled Eve out, she was spirit. Notice he pulled her out of his rib, close to his heart, under his arm to protect her. God knows what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He pulled her out and wrapped her in flesh. Now, ready? So they're not two. She's got a different spirit than me. But the day we were married, we became one flesh. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Amen. But she's accountable to God for herself. Why? Because she's got her own spirit. So am I. I'm accountable for her body. Her body, 1 Corinthians 7 says, Paul said, your body is not your own. Wives, you give it to your husband. Why? Because we're one flesh. Kind of put things together, the puzzle together. Ready? Genesis, we're still in Genesis 2, right? Watch this. This will blow you away. Here we go. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Why would she be called woman? Because Adam looked at her and he go, whoa, man. Get it? Whoa, man. All right, anyway. Praise the Lord Jesus. Therefore, wait till his wedding night. Whoa, Anissa. No. Mrs. Batman. All right, ready? Genesis 2. No, not at all. Just get used to it. You got a week. Genesis 2:23, and Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, something huge happens. I hope you catch it. Something huge happens. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You missed it. Let me read it again. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, let me say it. Ready? Father and mother. Adam came from God. Where did this title come from? Father and mother? Wait, aren't you my father? I want you to notice something. Ready? God did something so honorable, so majestic, that he took his name. He took his name of Father and he put it on the man. God took his name. He's the Father, isn't he? We call him the Father. The Bible, Jesus called him the Father. He prayed, our Father who art in heaven. Never, ever has God been called a mother. It's not a bad thing. Just understand this. Remember we said last week that God gave Eve motherly qualities, right? Because God compares himself to those motherly qualities. But never is he a mother. Does he call himself mother? Everything in the Bible calls him Father. That's his title. In other words, he's the birther of everything. The creator, the originator of everything. He's Father. This is not a male chauvinist pig thing. I want to show you something. And God took that name, Father, and he said, listen, man, Adam, I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to bestow honor on you, and I'm going to call you Father. Your kids will call you Father. The greatest honor in the world is to be a father. I know this is a Father's Day message, but it's not. There is no mother. There is no mother female in the Bible, you know, in heaven. And it's not a bad thing. You have to stay with me on this. But God said, you, Father, there's something about you that I want you to show the entire world of my goodness. And I'm going to put my name, I'm going to share my name with you. Fathers, if you're in this room this morning, you have an awesome responsibility to declare the Father to the world. You see, the way we understand him, God said this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Remember God gives the Ten Commandments, right? And to Moses, and he makes a real big statement. He says, you shall have no other gods before me, and you better not make an image of me and worship it. Why? Because he's invisible. Why? Because, man, you're the image. He says, fathers, you're the image. Don't make a statue. That ruins who you are, who I am. He said, men, I've given you my name. Now you live it on the earth. Because the way you live is the way people will know me. Why do we have a bad image of the Father? Because we have bad men on the planet that are not stepping up to who God called them to be. Do you understand the awesome responsibility of what it is to be a man? When men stand up and be men, listen, he is faithful, right? A husband must be faithful to his wife. Why? Because the kids see the Father in them. I'm not done. Hold on. Ephesians chapter 5. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 5. Remember, I know everybody, you love this chapter, especially a wedding. Wives, submit to your husbands. Brian already gave me $5 to make sure I stress it at the wedding. Yes, another five, please. Ephesians 5:25. Watch this. Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. You ready? It says, husbands, love your wives. Why? Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Husbands, you are the direct image of the Father. What you do makes your kids either love him or hate him. The way you love your wife, that's the way they see God loving them. Why are our kids messed up? Because the husbands are not loving their wives. He says, you husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In the marriage, the husband, the father, the man is a direct portrayal, a direct image, reflection of him in heaven. Ready? Go to Ephesians 5, 22. Watch what this says about the wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Did you notice that the wife is not to love their husband? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you love your husbands. It says you submit to your husband. It is not a male chauvinist thing. It is not, you know, you do whatever your husband tells you. You know, you cook, you slave, barefoot, pregnant, blah, blah. No, it is not what it means. If the man, a husband, is the direct image of God's love to the world, then the female, the wife, must show something about Jesus. Watch. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is also the head of the church, Savior of the body. In other words, wives, as you submit to your husbands, you are showing your kids what it's like to obey God. You are teaching them. Listen, when God created Adam and Eve, there was no book, there was no Facebook, there's no internet, no YouTube, no parenting classes, nothing. And he told Adam and Eve, you are father. You love your wife. Eve, you are female. You are mother. You submit to your husband. Why? Because you're my image. So when you get together and create for yourself, that child is supposed to see you, Eve, how you obey your husband, how you submit to him, is the way that child will submit to me. You are teaching. Your life teaches kids. Husband, as you love your wife, your son Cain will learn to love me. You, father, show your son Cain how much you love the world. Do you know what sin means? Ready? Do you know what sin means? Sin, the Hebrew and the Greek, both, the definition of sin is to disobey. That's it. It means to not submit. Who was the first person to sin? Who was the first person to sin? Eve. She disobeyed. And so that's why God said, okay, now Eve, your life will teach how to obey God. And he says, Adam, because she was deceived, I know she was, but she sinned. She still sinned. And he said, Adam, now you will be responsible. You are father. I put father on you. And all you did was disobey me. Now for the rest of your life, you will teach your kids what it's like to obey me. You will love your wife. You will give yourself for her. You will do everything for her. You will love her to the laying down of your life. Let me wind this up. Let me finish this. I know, because I know people got to go. Genesis chapter 3, Listen, Genesis chapter 3, what happens? We know Satan shows up. Satan shows up. Do you really think Satan was after Eve? Satan hears in chapter 2, he hears a name. You are father. Wait a minute. You're father. Yes, but now he's father. What does Satan do? No, I can't have fathers on this planet. He got to Eve so he get to man. His whole purpose of deceiving Eve was to ruin Adam's, the father's image. If Adam never sinned, there wouldn't be sin in the world. But he knew, if I ruin Adam's image of father, you, father, kicked me out of heaven. Listen, Lucifer, God was still his father. He created him. He was the father of everything. Lucifer was not God's son, but he's still father. You understand that? Lucifer was not his son. Adam was God's son. Luke chapter 3:38 says that. Adam was God's son. And he said, son, I call you father. I honor you with my name. Now go and multiply. Teach people the love of the Father. Teach your generations the love of the Father. You love your wife. You give yourself for her. Eve, you submit to him, because you will show people how to obey me. Satan came, and when Adam sinned, the Bible says that Adam became submitted to a new father, Satan, and he took over the world. Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. That's a huge word. The word father is a huge word. I'm going to end right there. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. God told me something last night. And God told me to do a specific altar call this morning for the men in the church. We want the world to be saved. We want this world to line up with God. We want this world to change. We want revival. But the only way it's going to happen, and this is not a knock on the female, but is when the man takes his rightful place and becomes the father. Act like the father. Doesn't mean you have kids, but it means you have the qualities of the father. It's not just a man. You're not just a man. You're a father. It means you love. No matter what, you love. You're fair and just. You're protector. You're giver. You're the guide. Man, you have a role. So here's my altar call. And this is between heaven and earth is taking note right now. God told me to do this. Heaven and earth is taking a picture right now. This is a picture moment. God is capturing this. Man, it's time for you to step up. And I'm going to ask you if you're willing to play the role of father. Just raise your hand and say, this day everything changes for me. Say, this day, I'm the father. I will honor him because he's given me his name. He trusts me to show his love to this world. Hallelujah. Men, just raise the other hand with me now. We'll just surrender to God. Father in heaven, we are men. You've created us for a specific purpose. And Father, in this room, I ask you, look at all the men that have raised their hands. I ask you to empower them, to encourage them, to to strengthen them, that they will fulfill the role of the Father on this earth. Because we are made in your image, and in Christ, we can be all that you have called us to be. Now, ladies, if you're next to a man, just put your hand on him. Just put your hand on him. The man that I've raised. God's not.